We're in the school of prayer again today. Let's just continue from where we stopped last week. It's kind of quite important that we get some facts right. And I was thinking about why we are doing the things that we are doing. And I realized again that the thing is that we want to form habits. And for you to form habits in the lives of people, you must talk about the thing all the time. He said, these words that I'm instructing you concerning today shall first be in your hearts and your minds, then you shall wet them and make them penetrate into the hearts of your own children. That's Jeremiah chapter 6. How do you do that? By speaking about them when you lie down, when you stand up, or in the wayside, and all of that. So what we're trying to do is to speak about these things all the time until praying becomes a habit. In fact, something happened in my house the other day. And if you didn't know, I was very, very angry. We're watching television. Praise the Lord. I entered the house. I'm not a football aficionado, right? I just on the side. In fact, I don't like watching matches when Nigeria is playing. I don't know how if he and my son decided to conspire to join the league of the adversaries. I don't know how they managed it. Yes, because I got there. Nigeria was about to play a penalty against him. Was it Mali or Ethiopia? Who was it that we beat very well? 2-0. One Moses guy. All right. Okay. In case you are listening to this from Ethiopia, don't be angry. This is football. Amen. I found that my son was laughing. And you know, when God wanted to punish people, he checked their age. He said, those of you under 20 years, I understand. You're just copying your senior sister that's above 20 years who is joining the league of the enemies. Amen. So I said, what's happening? They said, I just about to play. Somebody said, if he said that, they go through him. I said, yeah, go to your room. Just get up now. Go to your room. And I was very serious. I said, Akilutu, yes. I said, you, look at this small 10-year-old. I said, get up. I said, you know, it's good to be the daddy in the house. Amen. So I said, yeah, you, go to your room. Now, go and do your homework. Go and do your homework. Why? You want to use your mouth? Of course. Thank God. We scored the match. So those of us there, I pray. Say, in Jesus' name, to score. God will give them peace of mind. Calm. And the point I'm making is that as I look at the enemies of the country, the Lord is good. I'm not so into football, but that one, I was very angry. You know, I can't stand when people say anything again. If you know me, I just can't stand it. Say they go throw away. Yeah, get up. Go to your room now. And that's what Jesus does when he sees people who are staying up unbelief. He moves them out of the place. Oh, yeah? The child was crying. This is the child. Jesus said, wait, go and cry outside. Go and cry outside. He now selected a few people who will not cry, who will be able to close their eyes, concentrate, and download the blessing of God from heaven. And they went together, and in their presence, he raised the child. If he had allowed all those crying people, that child would have died some more. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, just by the way, it's important you just don't give up. You don't give in to crying and wailing. It's very important. If you see, Jesus always used to tell people, stop crying. And when you cry, you don't see properly. The tears, they fill your eyes. You cannot decipher what is going on. You lost a job, you are crying. You are crying, crying, crying. As long as you are crying, you will not get a miracle. Take your time, cry, exhaust yourself. Just know for that period, no miracles. Then when you're exhausted, get ready for a miracle. I don't know, you have wiped the tears away from your eyes. All right? That just by the way. So the point I'm making is that the Lord Jesus had to move those people out so that he gathered those who would join with him and then the power of God will flow. So that's why I excommunicated all the adversaries that day. And God had mercy upon us. And then, of course, the boys scored. And the next one, in fact, I like the way they scored the next one. You know how I like it? I wasn't watching. And then we have, they don't score. Praise the Lord. I don't watch when Nigeria is playing. So I didn't even know the day they played the next match. I was reading news the next day. I just saw that, the only people that wanted to stay fear in my heart, which I had to use faith, you know, would you for that faith? See, I believe. Father God, help my own belief. But and I heard that Nigeria won the next match. Praise the Lord. Now, why did I talk about this? I want to just explain to us again a principle. Because people often do this, and that's what we don't realize. Prayer must be a habit. What did I say? I don't mean the habit of praying per se. I mean the habit of being positive, being supplicative. You understand my point? Not affirming and confirming the things that you don't want. Prayer must be a habit. I don't mean habit of you are going on the road. It's 12 o'clock. Park your car. Everything is stopped. You start praying. That's not what I mean. I mean, as you are going on the road, you see things are not working properly. You don't join the leagues or the league of the critics and the complainers and the whiners and the grumblers. You instantly start offering up prayers and supplications and petitions for that particular situation. And that's how life is supposed to be for us as believers. There's one point I want to bring out. Let's read these two scriptures. All right? I emphasize the points, then we pray again, and then we close. Quickly, if you have your Bibles, open to the book of Matthew chapter 14. I want us to read something there. The book of Matthew chapter 14. That's it, 14? Chapter 5. Why would I say 14? Chapter 5. I think I know why I said 14. You'll see it in a moment. Verse 14. That's what I was in chapter 14. It said that from verse 13, let me read from verse 13. The Lord Jesus was speaking to his disciples, saying, "You are the salt of the earth, but the salt has become tasteless. How can it be made salty again?" Jump to verse 14. He said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Now, there's a reason why I read this. Let me just emphasize this to us again. The last time I began to explain the fact again that in life we are, that it's a battle. Remember what I said last Tuesday? That it's a battle, all right? The kingdom of God suffers what? Violence. That's the one we read, all right? And the violent will take it by force. That is, anything that God has promised, he said, begin to contend in battle. If God says, "I've given you this," all right, it becomes a, let me use the word, a vision. The people of Israel were in Egypt. Then the Lord spoke to them, "You are going to a promised land." Then they had to start going to the promised land. The promised land did not come upon them suddenly. They began to go to the promised land. It opened a way for them. Then they moved. There were adversaries on the way, and they fought the adversaries, and they overcame. Now, let me just say this. First of all, the most important adversaries, and actually in the New Testament era, all the adversaries are essentially like that. The most important adversaries are in your heart. Are you getting my point? That is a mindset. You have to fight it. The Bible talks about the fact that strongholds, all right, are in the minds of people. It said that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. And what does that mean? It said we are casting down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And not outside, but inside your heart. If you have an idea, an opinion that is contrary, all right, to those to the things that God has spoken, then these are the things you fight. You're not fighting people. Let me say to you again, your enemies are not people. You get what I'm saying? There may be people who don't like you, but see, these are how the things are for us believers. When we fight our battles properly, some other battles take care of themselves. The most important enemies in your life, if you're a Christian, is inside your heart. The ones outside are inconsequential. The power of God takes care of them even without you addressing them. Do you follow the point I'm making? The most important battle is inside your heart. So when the Bible, when God talks about giving people the promised land, as they began to move towards that promised land, they began to meet adversaries. And I'm saying the most important adversaries is in your heart. So you have to start conquering those adversaries. So people began to conquer adversaries. Now, as long as you don't change the focus, you don't change where you are going, you will continue to meet adversaries and you will continue to overcome them. Do you follow the point I'm making? That is, to inherit the promised land is a battle. It's called a fight of faith. That is, it's in your heart. What do you believe? I said to us then that what life is trying to do is to change your mind for you. Life is not trying to deny you directly of your inheritance. It can't. The devil cannot directly deny you of your inheritance. He cannot. What he can do is to tempt you to forget that inheritance. Remember what he did to Esau. Esau was there, all right? The first son, the heir to the inheritance. But he didn't take it serious. And Jacob took it very serious. Jacob looked at him and said, "Man, this is the way forward. This is the key to eternal life. This is how I will get all the things I ever wanted in life." So he began to go for it. This is the point I'm making. Esau lost that because he didn't really want it. It wasn't because Jacob was very powerful. It was not because the circumstances around wanted to deny him. But because he changed his mind about it. He said, "What is this inheritance to me?" And he sold it for a very small price, okay, to Jacob. So that's how it is. Satan wants you to change your mind. You have visions, you have plans, you think that you think should be doable or should be done. Satan, after a while, say, "Why are you bothering yourself? People have come before and they have tried and it did not work." And then you agree with them and then you change your mind, and that's the only way by which he can deny you your inheritance. He cannot directly deny you that inheritance. So what is our duty? I said it's a fight of faith. The fight is to maintain that stuff. Don't ever forget it. We discussed it last time. That is a fight. Now, I want to take it to another angle now. When it comes, we spoke about the brief last time. When it comes to our environment, all right, our families, our society. You know, I'm always talking about Nigeria because I'm a Nigerian. If somebody listening to this is a Ghanaian, they should focus on being, the issue of Ghana. If he's from Australia, she focus on the issue of Australia, okay? Now, I'm speaking because I'm a Nigerian. God planted me here, and this is where I'm going. God planted you wherever you are, and he said you are the light of the world. Don't forget what I said. Everything is what? A fight. We have an inheritance. We have a place we're supposed to go to. There are adversaries on the way. And number one adversary we must overcome is in our hearts. In fact, the most important ones are in our hearts. Now, so when it comes to, in everywhere we are, every society, God has his own people inside there. These are the people that the Lord Jesus spoke here. He said, "You are the light of the world." This is one I want to bring out. It is through these people that God brings forth blessings into those places. It's important you understand this. Abraham was called by God so that God will, through him, bring forth a blessing onto this earth. If God gives a promise, what he begins to do is to locate people in strategic places so as to bring forth his promise into that place. And there are two groups of them. I said, number one, most importantly, are the prophets. He said, "Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm." And he said these things when he was talking about Abraham. He was talking about Isaac. He was talking about Jacob. He said, these are the people that God led about, and he suffered no man to do them wrong, saying, "Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm." This is the point I'm making. Those are the most important people because of the spiritual impact that they have. They are the ones that, spiritually speaking now, they compel the hands of God to come down, all right, into the situation. There is a second group of people, and those are the people that effect. Now, are you following my point? That is like, now, Daniel prays. That's a prophetic level. It's very important that Daniel, having prayed, okay, God now moves Cyrus to come and begin to effect the thing that he wants to do. What am I going to say? God places people strategically in places. If God wants to change Nigeria, the first thing he does is to place people in there. And those spiritual, that first set, who are important because of their spiritual influence, he called those people the light of that situation. Are you getting what I'm saying? I know I'm talking fast. I just wanted to get to where I'm going. But do you understand what I said? Let me give an example. He said, "You are the salt of the earth," both of them put together. What it means is simple. It is through you that God brings forth his blessing into an environment. It is because salt means, what it was saying, because of. You understand my point? You are the preserving power. You know, I was watching TV. Was I watching TV? Okay, I went to a bank yesterday to go and check something. And the screen was on. While I was waiting, of course, they put the screen on. And they showed... because there was a lot of noise, a lot of people in the banking hall. So you couldn't really see... You couldn't hear what they were saying, but you could see the pictures and read the things they wrote under. This is summary. I wrote that I saw that the UK, their parliament is about to vote on... homosexual marriage, you understand? And then if the vote passes, you now go to the House of Lords. I was just watching. I couldn't hear what they were saying because of the noise in the banking hall. The screen was just some distance ahead of me, and I was just waiting for somebody to give me some information I needed. So they now showed... they showed one husband and one guy. You know, I won't lie to you. One guy that looked demon-possessed, and that's the potential wife. And you must understand, you know, the way I'll stand with my wife, and my wife will hold my hand like this. And the joker was holding the hand of the other guy. Ah, God, it was disgusting. Yes. And they've been interviewed. I said, whether you like it or not, God calls on things abomination. You get my point? I know P.S. Morgan doesn't like it. It's not politically correct, but the Bible still calls some things what? Abominations. This, he said, is an abomination. And once you see it, you will see it's an abomination. You don't even need to be spiritual. Just look. Say, what is wrong with these people? You know, one guy was standing and the wife he wants to marry. You know what I'm saying? Another man like himself. I saw Adam and Steve right there. Now, listen, Bible says, this is how Paul said it. He said, because of these things, the wrath of God is poured upon the sons of disobedience. See, let's not pretend. These things bring forth the wrath of God. It does. It does. It does. There's no story about it. That's just the way it is. All right? I was watching it on Tuesday. If at the point in time, I took my eyes away. I said, God, this is annoying. This is disgusting. And I couldn't hear them. I can imagine the guy talking here. They have the potential very soon. Equal rights for everybody. If you marry anybody I like, I can marry anybody I like. You like, marry somebody you liked, all right? And very soon you marry your younger sister, marry your mother, you know? It's a free world. They're very, you know, human beings. If God allows them, then you see, equal rights, dog rights. You see a man with bingo, I'm going for wedding. Listen, it will happen if things are not turned around. But usually God doesn't let you get to that point. After a while, he just destroys everybody. Just same thing, wipe everybody out. He does that. He wipes that junk. Michael, clean the whole place. Just come, get brush. And when God uses brush like that, you don't want to be in the way. Michael, know the respect people. You say, I'm a child of my friend, keep quiet. Yo, scroll. The Lord is good. Now, that's one way. Now, because of these sons of disobedience, the wrath of God is poured. But there are people, that's this point I'm getting to, that stay the wrath of God. And God, you see, what he does is that he gives time. You see, go and read the scriptures. It's a year, two, three, four, spiritually speaking. He gives time for him to see fruit of change in the society. When he doesn't see it, this is just by the way, what he now does is to take away the remnants, takes them out, and then cleans out the whole place. That's what he does. Just by the way, don't rush to a country to go and settle that you see their moral lifestyle decaying by the day. It's not safe for your children. As I emphasized what? Your children. It's not safe for them. They will grow up in that society. They are going to suffer the consequences. Be careful. All right? Everything you do in life, look at that as a mission. Just by the way. So, back to the point I'm making. So, how does God stay the hand of judgment? How does God turn things around? What he does is to throw somebody inside there. The person is born there a lot of times, and sometimes the person migrates in there, and God makes him tabernacle and take up residence in an environment. But this time around, with the purpose of being the source, the channel through which he pours forth his light. So he said, you are the light of the world. That is why it's so important that the light, listen to this, the light never compromises. The light never merges with the community. The light never, all right, becomes conformed to the world. One of the major reasons is that God says, see now, if the salt now is without taste, what is the hope for this situation? Are you getting my point? That's why don't ever be afraid to be different. Don't be afraid to be the odd man out. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed to be the president. Don't mind that fellow. She thinks he's the only one that knows God. It's good. Once they start talking about you like that, fine. What they don't realize is that you are the only hope. You are the only hope. Once everybody agrees to do iniquity, God will clean the place out. Believe me. That is the word of God. He will clean the place out, and that's very soon. That very soon. That's what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. God looked at the iniquity that was going on inside there, the very thing that people are starting now. All right? And they decided that he was going to clean them out. Abraham prayed, and God said to Abraham, listen, my friend, you know, there are two ways to look at it. But one way is God said to Abraham, listen, you think if there were 10 righteous people, I would come here to waste my time? Abraham pray. He reached 10. God said, yeah, forget. This one will go work. But I'm talking about the light of the world. That's my emphasis for this evening. The light of the world. They are the ones through whom God brings forth his blessing. These things are spiritual. They are the reasons why the place will not be destroyed. They are the reasons why, you know, judgment will not be poured upon the land. They are the reasons why that decay that the sons of disobedience are trying to bring into society, they will be turned, it will be turned around. They are the reasons why God stabilizes things. It is through them, more importantly for my discussion this evening, it is through them that blessings flow. It is through them that light begins to manifest. It is through them that God begins to turn things around. I said there are two levels. I'm not talking about the second level. Those, the Cyruses, through whom God begins to effectively execute these things, all right? But the spiritual side is what I'm talking about. So you see, you are very important. Are you getting what I'm saying? Take a nation like Nigeria that you are in right now. Your presence is crucial. And don't forget what I started with. It's warfare. Remember I said that? It's what? Warfare. You are fighting. You are fighting. Like I was telling you last time, the adversaries in my house who were prophesying against Nigeria, I knew what they were trying to do. You know, it was, you know, sometimes people try to, you know, I would say hope deferred makes the hearts faint. So you want to kill the hope by yourself so that you won't have any hope. Therefore, you can't be disappointed. Yeah, a lot of people do that. They start out in life. This life is useless. Everything has failed. So that when they fail, there will be no problem. Yeah, people, yes. They are sending their child to school. They don't realize, hey, go! I know this money I'm spending is just a waste. You know how mother say it? Fathers too. Just go. Door head. They say we should bring money from school. Hey, take the money. I know it's a waste. What he or she is trying to do, all right, is to set, they are trying to set themselves up in such a manner that they will not be disappointed. Because if you lift yourself high like this, the child comes back, it don't fail. So what happened? You'll be depressed. So you want to depress yourself first because he that is down. So you tell the child, but what you don't realize is that those are the temptations of life. What did I call them? The temptation. Yes, that's what life wants you to do. So when the child now comes back, after you have paid good money for 3 years, they now withdraw him from the faculty. You turn to your brothers. I said so. If I did not pay the money, now people will say I'm being wicked as a father. You can see it. I said so. And you think you're a prophet. Your words are so good and correct. What you don't realize is that, yes, you're a prophet, but you did not understand the power of the prophet. You did not understand the power of prophecy. And your words have been executed and it's correct, not because you were so wise, but because you spoke those words and you gave power for failure into the life of that child. So he's trying to read, he can't concentrate. Why? His father said, his mother said, he can never do well. We don't realize it's what? Fight. What did I call it? It's fight. From time to time, the boy in secondary, primary school, he comes back home, they say he can't write properly. So they say, what is wrong with you? You can't write. You will tell him, you will write. Oh. Look, you can vex. The Bible says, be angry. But what? Anger is okay. It's what you do with it. Drag the child's ear. Listen to me. You will hear. Not you, this dull head, deaf. No. Put that ear. Say, this ear, you go here. This money I'm spending will not be wasted. You're angry, are you not? But you are refusing to sin. It's called be angry and sin not. This is anger with sin. Foolish boy. Money where person is supposed to take chop. Now did they train you so? That is anger with what? Sin. But it's angry. There is anger without sin. Yeah. This is my money will not be wasted. I'm a child of God. Anything I put my hand to do will prosper. I have put my hand on you, you will prosper. The boy will go back to school. He go fail again. You go laugh. Fail all you want. A righteous man fails 7 times. It's called angry, refusing to see. I'm angry. In fact, thank God this is not America, this is Nigeria. You bring your belt. Foolishness is bound up in your heart. It's prophetic. But I have a commandment to drive it. This boy, this heart that does not pay attention in school, out in the name of Jesus. This boy that gets zero when everybody is getting 10. All right? The spirit of zero out in the name of Jesus. Anyway, just by the way, you flock children for disobedience, that's all. All right? Not for any other thing. It's for what? Disobedience, yes. If you say the child, pay attention. If he doesn't, it's called a just recompense of what? Of reward. It's scriptural, all right? But don't beat the child of anger. But the point I'm making is that be angry and sin not. Don't let a child persuade you to prophesy evil upon his head. It's war. You must understand it. When we don't realize it's war, that's when we fight on the side of the enemy. So you want to pull yourself, that's why you won't be disappointed. What you don't realize is that you are cooperating with Satan. I like the way they say it. Not Bible, but it's a good illustration at this particular point in time. They say it's better to shoot for the sun and get the moon. Better than to shoot for the ground and get all of it. So let me be disappointed. I'll cope my disappointment later. Now, that's not really Bible, but I just want to explain a principle there. It's lit up my heart. The Lord loves a broken heart. If my heart is broken, the Lord will love me. Amen? If you disappoint me, I'll look for succor in the Lord. But that I will refuse to have hope and not go agree. He said, this I consider, therefore I have hope. Not because the situation is good, but because the loving kindness of God, the Lord, does not cease. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. That's what I consider. Therefore, I have hope. Nobody will persuade me not to have hope. Let things bad, worse, you know, worst, worster, bad down, give me another bad English, than the one that I am seeing right now. I will see, turn around and consider that God is good. Therefore, I will have hope. Like I said, it's temptation. We fall for it because we don't realize it's battle. Satan doesn't have the power we think he has. The only power he has, all right, there are powers like that, temptation. And please, I always recommend this. Go and read it again. The story of Ben Carson, Gifted Hands. In that book, Ben Carson told the story of how he was a certified dullard. Certified. At the bottom of the class. But his mother knew how to pray. His mother looked at him and his brother Curtis and said, what am I going to do with you boys? Okay, off to your rooms. Let me go and pray. Ben Carson said he couldn't sleep because he was afraid of what God would say to the mother. And next morning, the mother called them and said, the Holy Spirit has spoken. And he said, okay now. Number one, no more TV in this house. Are you sure God said that? Mother said, I think he said he can only watch 2 hours in a week. The boy's like, what? 2 hours in one whole week? Say, yes, that's what the Holy Spirit said I should do. Hey, yeah. And secondly, Holy Spirit said, you boys are going to read 2 books every week. They are going to give me the summary. What they did not know was that mommy couldn't read. The Holy Spirit kept that one from them. This point I'm making, it was a battle. Life can do in such a manner that's what Satan has planned. You will think that this boy is born dull. They will confirm it. And there will be enough evidence. They will send him for psychological testing and they will return it and say that, yes, he's born dull. I like the story I heard. Look, what the doctor said is not final. I don't know the details, but I remember Chilavert. How many of you remember Chilavert? The goalkeeper of Paraguay. When I heard that guy didn't walk until he was like 9 or 10 or 11, I can't remember now, I couldn't believe it. Did you hear what I said? Normal children walk 1 year, about that. In fact, if you have children like mine, 2 of my kids walked at 8 months. At the age of 9, Binga was running upstairs. That is, sharp, walking upstairs. You'll have thought that is normal. But Chilavert, I think he started walking when he was like 9 or 10. I can't remember the details now. And then he became a goalkeeper. Let's not even go beyond that. You are a goalkeeper playing in World Cup. I'm sure you are walking properly. That's all I have to say. There's another woman. Hey, I tell the story once in a while, but I forget to confirm her name. True story, she was paralyzed. I've forgotten what happened. And they said she wouldn't walk again. And the mother said, no, she's going to walk again. The mother would massage her leg every day and say, this is my girl, is going to walk again. And that's how the mother insisted, no, whatever you guys are saying, you don't understand, she's going to walk again. And that's how, it was for years, the mother refused to change her mind. One day the girl began to walk. But she didn't walk. She started running. And he found that running was such sheer pleasure. She couldn't stop running. She ran like that and she won gold medal in Olympics. Listen, I'll get to the name, all right? Life just tempting you to agree. Don't forget it's what? Fight. It's battle. It's battle. The number one battle you will overcome is inside your heart. Satan, I will not agree with you. Forget. I'm not going to agree with you. Look at our country. Whatever country you are in, life wants, look, listen. I don't care what it looks like. I said something at the beginning. The divine order is that life flows into the situation through you. Through you, the child of God. So you are not there to affirm. We know what you can see. We are saying that if that the thing you are seeing is going to be turned around, it's going to change, it's going to be because life flowed in through you. And how does life flow? Quickly, let's read this. In fact, I thank God I just remembered now. Proverbs chapter 18. This is how life flows. It said, death, verse 21, and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. How does life flow? It flows through the things that the tongue utters. Are you getting my point? It flows through the tongue. It does. So when we are fighting, what was I saying? That what we are doing is that we are fighting for life. You get what I'm saying? We are fighting that what we are seeing, if it's not in accordance with what God spoke, then we have to arrange it. I talked about prophecy. Which series were we talking about? Was it last year? Yeah, what was the name of the series now? Okay, yes. Learning from Moses. Thank you. Understanding the prophetic. That's a sub-series within the Learning from Moses series. I explained something there, please. If you have not listened to the message, go and get a hold of it. Good enough. We can say this confidently. They're all on our website for free download. Just go under the Word of the Kingdom. You select, just look for the one, Understanding the Prophetic. All right? Learning from Moses, group 4, group 3, one of those things. All right? Or group 5. You click on it, you see the whole series there. Easy, free. You know, you listen to it, you download it. Now, in that Learning from Moses, I explained the meaning of prophecy. Prophesying and predictions are two different things. You understand my point? But true prophecy is not prediction. It's not soothsaying. It's not fortune telling. Prophesying is when you discern the will of God. God gives out his will. You understand my point? People think that it means that this was going to happen. No, God said, this is my plan. What happens on the earth is a combination of, number one, the will of God. Two, the consequences of the behaviors of mankind. And number three, the prayers that they pray. Those three things come together, all right, to determine what happens on the earth. If you're a true prophet of God, what you discern most of the time, number one, is the will of God. Sometimes prophets discern the potential outcomes on the earth. That is, God said, listen, I'm about to start doing this. But most of the time, if you read the Bible, what prophets utter are the things that are the will of God. So I preached a sermon then when I talked about poor Jonah. That is, God can say something, at the end of the day, look around, it didn't happen. He said, no, that's the word of God, it's not true. It is true. But what God gave to you was his perfect will. You understand? He now said, I've given you my perfect will. What is my perfect will? Go and inherit that land called the promised land. They're on the way to the promised land. The Bible said the word preached did not profit them. Not being mixed with faith in the hearts of those who heard it. So what is true prophecy? That's true prophesying. Once we have discovered the will of God, we now start saying, listen, my life, you will conform to that too. Are you getting my point? That is now fight, now war. But this war is spiritual. I'm not saying that now. God says that you will prosper. I say, good. Anyhow, man must make money so as to fulfill that word. No, that's not what I mean. In fact, you will soon get a mail from me. You know, that thing came upon me today, like an inspiration. So I quickly put it down in a few minutes in the morning. I'll develop it, send it to me by tomorrow or the next few days. I said, how that the seeds of destiny, inside you read what I'm about to say, the seeds of destiny. Now, what brings forth a prosperous destiny for people. For, as an example, it's not that they went to look for money. It's that they learned how to cultivate faithfulness. The Bible says, dwell in the land. That's number one. Everybody has a piece of land that is his own. Dwell where? In the land. For example, you're a preacher. Dwell in preaching. You get what I'm saying? You're a businessman. Dwell in doing your business well. All right? You're a teacher. Dwell in teaching. You're getting my point. Dwell. Try and locate your call and dwell there. He said, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Are you getting my point? It's a spiritual battle. Not that I get up and I say, which I must make money. No. I dwell in my land and therein I cultivate faithfulness. But I don't ever forget my spiritual war. All right? He will say, people like you, you know this, and they say, I lie. This is what the word of God says. And I utter that every day. I say it. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. If you like, strip me naked, I don't have anything again. All right? While I'm hungry, I'll say, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Let me almost die of hunger. And peradventure, I actually die. My children will be so prosperous, you won't understand. I hope you catch what I'm saying. I'm not going to die anyway. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just giving as an example. But that word will never fail. Abraham, what happened to him? Father of many nations. He died not having seen the promise. But go and check what happened to his descendants. You are one of them. You are getting what I'm saying? So I recognize that. So every day, nobody's going to, look, listen, you won't change my mind. Let them make laws that kill my business. I will still wake up in the morning. And say, the Bible says, dwell in the land and cultivate what? Faithfulness. Faithfulness is my watchword. That don't worry, God will soon bring forth my righteousness like the noonday sun. Watch it. I continue to prophesy. Look, and as I prophesy, all right? You won't change my mind. But as I'm prophesying, God begins to open doors for me and begins to show me new things.